So shine bright tonight. Oh, you're beautiful like diamonds in the sky. Okay, sound check. You're beautiful like diamonds in the sky. Okay, we got Matt Rogers coming here. Jolly will be here in a minute. He doesn't know this is the intro to our podcast. This is the Healing Club with Bob Morrissey, dumbass from Houston, Texas, everybody. Host of the successful show every alternate Monday, 3 to 2 times a month at the Secret Group Mondays. Some Mondays are the successful show. Some Mondays are Dexter's Laughatory. Those two things switch off on Mondays at the Secret Group. I also host God Damn It at Avant Garden, which is a weekly show you can just hang out at. You got to pay $5 for the successful show. Matt Rogers will be here in a moment. I had a lot of fun on the last podcast talking to Cody and Emily and our different conversations. I don't know if I'm up for... I'm recording this intro before I even talk to Matt Rogers. So, we'll see how this goes. I don't have a lot of hope. I have a bleak outlook on life in general. So I'm comfortable with that, and I hope Matt Rogers, Mr. Jolly, is comfortable with it too. Jolly hosts the Darwin's Theory open mic every Wednesday at Darwin's Theory. Darwin's Theory. It's just a theory, man. Okay. Well, let's see.
Maybe I should just leave it at that.
I'm doing a little TV taping at the Houston Improv on Thursday, and I'm going to be on a little 2.5-minute stand-up set on, like, a local TV thing. So good for me, right? I can do this. I got this. I've been at it for 11 years. Nobody else has put in the work I've put in. I mean, the specific work I've put in. Some people have worked more than me or harder than me, or they've, like, gone through less or, you know, achieved different things in different directions, of course, right? We're all different people. Everyone's unique. That's what makes life so scary. So we've got Matt Rogers here, and he will dazzle you with hilarious comedy from his heart and his brain and his butt. And we will have a good time, I promise. All right, we're all going to see how this goes. With Jolly Rogers, Matt Rogers, from a friend of mine for 7 or 8 years. Lovable guy, let's have fun. On the Healing Club. It doesn't make much to make my wall. My name's Bob Morrissey, this is the Healing Club. Introducing Matt Rogers from Darwin's Theory and more.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Secret Group shows all the time. Yeah. Known you for 7 years, 8 years. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, good. My thoughts are all scrambled. I'm kind of helpless right now. You're going to have to carry all the energy. And we're going to have to really yell over the voice of the air conditioner. We got to really make ourselves heard
all
on
right.
this podcast. It's
all right. We're heard.
Loud experience. It's a...
I'm glad you have AC, though, because...
Oh, God.
I don't even have AC in my car, and it's...
You have no AC in your car.
No, dude. It's awful.
I've lived through that before. It sucks. It sucks.
You know, it's not so bad as long as you're moving, but, like, whenever you hit traffic, it's the fucking worst.
Hey, Houston weather is so hot right now. We're living through the hottest time in human history. Literally seeing that in the newspapers, on the headlines, in the Twitter, in the garbage. And when I throw my garbage away, I look at how bad the world is. And that's why I call this podcast The Healing Club, because I'm confusing you into self-actualization.
And okay.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Okay. Gonna...
But it is fucking hot, man. I watched, like, this weather channel on YouTube, and, like, they talk about how it's going to be a really bad hurricane season.
Uh-huh.
I don't want a hurricane to hit me.
Yeah, like directly, like you.
I really don't want to. I'm gonna get hit in the face with a hurricane.
You don't think you could take it?
No, I get wiped out. Everything I ever worked on, everything I ever cared about, lost or loved, all of it's gone.
All your pictures, dude.
My memories. Oh no!
Oh no!
Everything I have. Hey, yeah. Hold on to it so hard. I hold on to, like, the evidence of me being a genius, like, so fucking hard.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, look at all the books I have in my apartment. Come and see my little layer of, you know, drawings and, you know.
Do you have, like, little hidden gems on your bookshelf? Like, if someone was to see it, they would, like, appreciate what you have? Like you know, some kind of pretentious shit?
I have good titles. I think I just try to read a lot and buy a lot of books. Sometimes I buy more books than I can read.
Have you read every book here?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm addicted to going to the bookstore or the Goodwill to just pick up, like, this will be good to read in the future.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to read this. And then it sits on my shelf for like 12 years. And I finally dug into a book that I'd had for 12 years and never touched.
Was it worth it?
Yeah. It was the collected novels of Eudora Welty. It was the Robert Bridegroom, Delta Wedding, The Ponder Heart, Losing Battles, and The Optimist's Daughter, all in one volume. And I read the first three, got stuck in the middle of Losing Battles, and didn't finish all of it.
What the fuck are these books you're reading? Like, are these like fiction or nonfiction?
They're fiction, yeah.
Okay.
But it's like...
are they like murder mystery or like just like coming of age or...
It's kind of embracing the same sort of storytelling techniques as like Samuel Beckett or like deliberate boredom, like James Joyce or modernist, like William Faulkner type of florid, like excessive language devoted to describing the most minute particular thing that could possibly exist in a person's mind. And then, like, having nothing happen in the story the whole time.
I mean, is it like supposed to be like psychological? Like,
yeah, it's a detailed, developed little flashes of real language coming out of people's mouths.
You got to bring your own fun and like imagination to this.
It puts you back into 100 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Into the daily operations of a mind that is set to do the things that people had to do 100 years ago, as opposed to what we do every day now to survive. And the way we think now is a result of how we handle our outside reality and what we do with the tools we have as a, you know, conquered people out here in Houston, Texas, just conquered by the corporations, just totally, you know, stuck in a, you know, like a losing war. Against the people with money. And
you have any books where the setting's based in Houston?
Yeah, I got one.
What is it?
It's Lot by Brian Washington.
Okay, we got an avenue named after him.
Yeah. Oh, there's many Washingtons, and I bet it's not named after that one. I'm like, Washington's a good name.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Would you want to be named Washington? Bob Washington?
Yeah.
Or would you like to be Washington Morrissey?
People would just call me Wash.
Wash for sure.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, my name's Wash. I'm Wash.
If I was Washington, they would call me Tun for short.
Yeah. This comedian, Brendan Walsh, had a child named him Washington.
For a first name?
Yeah. And so now the kid's name could be like, Wash Walsh. Herman's Wash Walsh. Wash Walsh. No, that's my real name. Wash Walsh.
I don't know. He could be setting his kid up for like the future. Like this is going to be a cool name when he gets older.
Wash.
Wash.
Watch Wash Walsh. I think that was the original intention.
It's like what someone says when they're trying to mimic the English language.
Yeah.
Wash, wash, wash.
So, and I also bought a t-shirt that he was selling. It was like the protest t-shirt, I stand with the Writers Guild of America and then mm-hmm. the Actors Guild and like a little illustrated, like, you know, stick figure thing. And he changed it to say, "I stank with the," or "I stank with the Writers Guild and the Actors Guild." Support our unions and, like,
please.
need help.
Yeah, I think that's a funny idea about the shirt. I'm a big fan.
You're a big fan of shirts.
I'm a big fan of comedy and, you know, what we're doing and all the people we see and, like, the fact that it happens brings me joy, even if the outlook on the world. I was thinking of changing the name of the Healing Club to Hateful Outlooks because I'm gay.
Okay.
Hateful Outlooks. Like, looking out hatefully. Yeah. You know, okay. Hatefully gay. That's
that's the name right there.
Hatefully Gay would be a better podcast name than the Healing Club.
I like the Healing Club.
Yeah.
Name.
Yeah. And then I would have to be committed to being hateful. If I was hatefully gay every day,
mm-hmm.
I would have to be hateful to everyone. Like, come into my hateful little barn. I'm going to fucking yell at you.
What are some things you hate?
Roads in Houston.
Okay.
I hate the heat outside.
Mm-hmm.
I hate petty scorekeeping. I hate obvious intentions. I hate people trying to pretend to be things just to play a role and then accepting a herd mentality. And there's a lot of things I hate. Yeah. Like, what do you hate?
I have a list that I keep on my phone. Okay. It's not very long because I just barely started keeping it. Number one is trains.
Oh, yeah.
I hate trains.
I always hated the goddamn railroads.
But, like, you know, like, because, like, now they associate, like, trains with, like, kids with autism and, like, but, like, there was kids growing up that loved trains, but, like, I never saw the appeal. I always thought they were just the most boring thing.
Yeah, all they did was just, like, wipe out the wilderness in America, doom this country, and genocide of people. That was the beauty of trains. I get your I hate trains.
Another one is cardboard boxes.
Okay.
I
mean, you're not a cat then, because cats love cardboard boxes.
I am the opposite of a cat. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Like, the noise it makes whenever it, like when you're trying to, like, open the top and stuff, when it's, like, rubbing against each other, like, it's like nails on a chalkboard to me.
It's so, like, a texture thing.
A texture?
I'm like a texture girl. I think, like, I can't eat
I like a good spackle.
I'm like a texture person. I'm a texture girl. Like, you ever hear somebody describe why they don't eat some food?
Because of it's, like, textured?
Like,
but I mean, like, after like 3 bites, it like becomes the same, right?
Guacamole used to scare the shit out of me. I would never eat that when I was a kid.
I'm really?
Like, that shit's green. Do not put that on my plate. It's green in a alien vomit. You get addicted to this because it's like so evil. But the I just thought like I would die if I ate avocado or guacamole because it was like the texture was.
I don't know. I mean, like, a lot of kids, they didn't like green stuff.
Yeah.
So I can see that. But I don't know. Yeah, like, the texture does look weird. Yeah.
But baby food is just avocado a lot of times.
Well, it's just like, it's like just pureed whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Avocado is one of the best things to puree. Do you like cooking?
I whenever I'm up to it. Yeah. A lot of times I'm just like, I don't feel like cooking.
But yeah.
I enjoy cooking.
I'm enjoying cooking at home.
What have you been cooking?
I'll just meals delivered to my house from HelloFresh.
Oh, so you pop them in the microwave for?
No, I gotta like stir. I gotta. You actually have to make it from fresh ingredients, it's like a little cooking class that I'm conducting myself every like 3 days a week.
Are you vocally like? Talking instructions out like you're on camera.
No, that's not how I read to myself.
Oh. What are some meals you've been getting from HelloFresh? Sponsor of the podcast.
Yeah, I don't. They're not a sponsor of the podcast. I'm not going to give them the satisfaction. I don't work for those motherfuckers. I don't fucking care about your corporate circle of
meals,
CEOs, rich guys with capital directly inherited from the injustice that has happened throughout the history of this country. You motherfuckers at HelloFresh. Go fuck yourselves for all I care. You know?
I think that was a pretty good commercial.
Yeah. I told the guy to go fuck himself once. You ever
really?
Do that? You ever do that to somebody you know? Go fuck yourself.
Oh, I've been mad seriously. And been like, go fuck yourself.
Like, you come out seriously. Fuck yourself.
Fuck yourself.
Fuck yourself. Fuck you, man.
You sound all hurt. Man, fuck you, man. Go fuck yourself, man.
Fuck you, Gino. I fucking think I didn't feel that all you didn't fucking do it the time I was looking at that at work. I hate you, motherfucker. Go fuck yourself.
It's funny. You dropped your little notebook. Yeah, it's funny because whenever you walked outside to let me in, you were still carrying a notebook.
Oh, yeah.
Always got one on you.
Okay, I just wrote this down right before you came in.
Okay.
All right. You ever get jealous of people who can look at the sun and not get hurt?
I don't...
No.
No, not really. No.
I want to stare right into the sun
when
I'm driving, and it's like I'm wearing shades. I don't care.
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah.
Remember when Trump looked at the sun during the eclipse?
That was maybe my favorite moment of
hilarious.
The whole presidency.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. When Trump stared at the sun on purpose just to show that he could because he's a god.
I mean, he's got like sun-kissed skin, dude.
Yeah.
All orange.
Ah, man, what a hard heart. What a fucking tough man that is, though. Like, I didn't even notice.
I didn't even notice that I was looking in the sun.
Oh, yeah. It's just like anywhere else I look.
I wasn't,
whenever.
Like, totally staring at the eclipse like nobody had ever told me that before to not do that. Like, I'm fucking, just, you know, I'm a
different kind of guy. I never say sorry.
Do you think you're the same after you look into the sun like that?
Yeah, maybe he got possessed by something evil like 20 years ago after he like first learned how to stare at the sun. Like, so maybe you should be jealous of people who can stare at the sun.
Dude, don't stare at the sun during a solar flare, dude. You'll get possessed.
Yeah. Fuck, man. I just want to, you know. I want to, like, if I ever commit suicide, I would like to do it at the height of the, at the dark side of the moon time, you know, when it's like a, what do they call that?
The eclipse?
Yeah, during the eclipse, where like, where it fully envelops your image of the, sun, like.
Of the dark side of the moon? Or the whole.
Yeah. What is that term? I knew it once.
The apex?
No. Not the apogee. Not the, it's something about doing it like, it's like, it sounds like redundant or reclusion or Rolex, reduce, reuse.
Recycle.
Ponder, heart, losing battles. I don't know what to say right now.
I was like trying to think of the word, but. What if like you can like during time travel, whenever that becomes a thing, where like you can go back in time to kill yourself at like at any point?
Oh yeah, just to escape.
Or just like any event.
I just read this book called Kafka on the Shore. It's like a supernatural thriller allegory.
Okay.
In which moving a stone creates a different reality than the one that was supposed to happen, and people can like move a stone and that'll change everything.
Okay.
You can talk to cats. Anything is possible. It's a different world where like the leeches fall from the sky and
okay
you know
It's like there's like that Simpsons episode that did that.
Yeah.
With a toaster. And he kept going back in time, and he'd fucking squish something and come back, and everything was different.
Yeah. It's sort of the same thing, and then played out with this story. But it's one of the, it's like a philosophical consciousness expansion type of pretty writing.
Okay.
That has some unforgettable scenes of, not just violence, but conflict and a dude's like cutting off the heads of these cats.
Okay.
And then putting them in rows as an art project, and it angers the developmentally disabled guy who during an eclipse was possessed and then came back and he was never the same.
Right. Okay.
After he saw what he saw, and people around him all passed out, and he was the only one that didn't recover for 3 weeks. But when he came back, he was never the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's this man whose only way of he became a carpenter for 40 years and just processed basic things that he was a great carpenter,
mm-hmm.
a woodworker, made tables and stuff. This dude in Japan. And he made all of his inheritance was sort of robbed in a bad investment his caretaker made for him, and his nephew or something was handling all his money that he'd accumulated his whole life, and then he was left. He had to survive by talking to cats and finding cats for people who were missing cats. The later portion of his book.
That is the most insane shit. What the fuck? What kind of book? Dude, these are crazy books you read.
Ah.
Did you ever read the book The K when you were in school?
No.
It was about a boy and he was on a ship or something and he shipwrecked. And then during a time where it's everyone's really racist. And so the boy is with this adult man who was a slave, I think, or he was black, and they survive together, and the man protects the boy during a hurricane.
Oh, okay.
And I guess the guy dies, and then they rescue the kid. He's like, oh, okay. And then, yeah.
So it's Huck Finn, but Jim dies.
Yeah. It's there's a lot of symbolism in it, but I don't remember because I haven't read it since I was in, I think, junior high.
Yeah.
I don't think I've read very many books since I got out of school.
Nah.
No.
I like to read pretty much I don't know why I like to read. It's just something I got hooked on when I was a little kid, and I don't know. I hated playing sports. You couldn't drag me away from a book, and they forced me to play basketball with my brother or something.
Yeah.
And my brother was a mean fucking opponent in and he was 2 years older than me.
Yeah.
And he'd always taunt me and stuff because shit talking was part of basketball at the time of white men can't jump.
Yeah.
Which, I can't jump at all. I'm bad at
jumping. No, I have no jump at all.
No?
There's no way, dude. I'm going to.
This frame is wrecked. This body is it's an old shell.
Yeah.
It's
just an old shell. Not of what it once was, but just in general.
It's a worn out razor blade suitcase.
What's a razor blade suitcase?
Something Bush created. In the 90s.
Is that some kind of weapon?
Yeah, it was a weapon of music. By Bush.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right, it was Bush.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to be that long.
Glad we got to the bottom of that conspiracy.
Yeah, there you go.
Whatever we were talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's your beef these days? Who do you hate? Tell me everyone you hate in order 1 to 10.
I don't know. I don't hate very many people.
I don't hate Barry many people. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
You hate somebody named Barry?
No.
No, we all love Barry. We know who Barry is.
Yeah.
Yeah, damn it.
I don't know. A lot of open micers annoy me.
Oh, yeah, you've been hosting open mic, and you have for years now.
Yeah. It's... but that happens with every new wave of the comics we get in, so...
Yeah, there's some people who stick around too long. There's some people who never get better, stick around too long. Don't know when to quit, finally do.
Maybe they just... That's what they love doing.
I get sad for them. I don't ever want to be that guy. I could be that guy.
Dude, we're those guys. we should have quit a long time ago.
Yeah, things haven't been looking good for a very long time. And outlook is... I like stories where people go up against impossible odds and at least try. And if they fail, they've made a heroic effort.
Right.
But they've achieved something along the way. Like Rocky with the love of Adrian at the end of that movie. He lost, but he won. He proved himself and he fell in love.
In the first one?
Yeah.
He lost?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh. No. The point of the movie.
Really? I thought he was so good. That's why they made that's hilarious.
Oh.
I just remember.
But he went 12 rounds against the heavyweight champion of the world.
Did he lose to decision? That's how they're just like, yeah, no, the other guy had more points.
Yeah, the other guy. The ref called it for...
Oh, okay. He was getting the shit beat out of him.
Carl Weathers, you know. Yeah, I saw that movie so long ago.
I just remember the one where, like, Dolph Lundgren, like, kills Apollo Creed.
Yeah. That's... Apollo Creed gets killed. But he wins in the first one.
Yeah.
But then they go back and forth in the second one. Rocky wins.
Rocky is against Apollo Creed again?
Yeah.
Okay.
But after some losses to Hulk Hogan or something in part three. I think Mr. T and Hulk Hogan are both in part three. I kind of want to watch Rocky III again just for that reason.
I want to say that. Yeah, I remember Hulk Hogan being in one of the Rocky movies.
Yeah, that's kind of what made him a big star.
It was Rocky.
That's why he landed in our hearts where he did for those years when I was a little boy and I loved Hulk Hogan.
Did you?
But then I hated him when he was Hollywood Hogan. I was so fucking pissed off.
Because I remember him being Hollywood Hogan.
Yeah, at first?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a little older than you.
Yeah.
I've seen more, too.
I bet you have. How many Rocky movies are there now?
Including Creed's?
No, is Rocky in them?
Rocky's in Creed 1.
Let's not include the Creed movies.
Okay. I don't know. There's a continuation of the storyline and it's somebody else's life. And I don't know. Okay.
Is that how Rocky talks?
That's how he talks now. Yo, Adrian. You did it.
That's good. I want to see how many Rocky movies there are.
Can you do Richard Gere saying, "I got no place else to go," in An Officer and a Gentleman, you know, or Louis Gossett Jr.?
Oh, I know who Richard Gere is, but I don't remember how he sounds.
Because I got no place left to go. I got no place else to go. Something like that.
Like he's about to cry?
Yeah. He's crying. He's like, I got nowhere else to go. Or something like that. I don't know. I got no place else to go. He's a college graduate. And so he was, college boy! What are you doing here, college boy? And green, scary overlord. My drill sergeants, I remember one drill sergeant who just said it so well when he was like, "You ain't shit," but I can't say it the way he did.
Mm.
"You ain't shit! You ain't shit!" You know, you ain't shit.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You You've done it, dude. You've mastered the way of saying you ain't shit. That was really good. I felt that. I really believe I'm not shit right now. Oh my gosh. Did a lot of people cry?
Nobody cried.
Nobody?
Oh, actually, yes. 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 A lot of people cried in the army. Yeah, and then, like, you gotta. There are some people who aren't as afraid of crying as others.
Yeah.
Such as me.
Nice.
I just cry all the time. Man.
Fuck it.
I turn on some Regina Spektor. Set some waterworks going for a little bit.
There you go.
Then I do some push ups. Cry through my exercise. I was talking with Cody Greenlee on the last podcast of, you know, my lack of catchphrases, I think, is holding me back.
Okay.
And
I thought you had a catchphrase.
Well, my best catchphrase has always been just, like, breaking down and crying in real tears on stage.
Oh, there he goes with his catchphrase. Oh, man, he's going to do it tonight. He's going to do the catchphrase.
Yeah, he's going
to. You put that on a t-shirt?
What? Me crying?
Yeah, just.
Crying comic? Yeah,
do the cry. You just tell your jokes as you're sobbing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sad Santa every year at the. I used to be. I don't know if it's gonna keep going. I don't know. No, whatever. I don't know. I love doing that.
Yeah. Well, why? Didn't y'all do it last year?
Yeah, we did for 3 years in a row. It was fun.
And then you're not gonna do it.
It has been fun.
And it's not gonna be next year.
I don't know. Maybe we'll see.
We'll see what Santa brings.
I want it
right?
to be. I wish Santa would. Tell me an answer. Send me some feedback, Santa.
He's so busy.
Santa's a dick.
You think so?
Yeah.
He's just sad.
Yeah. He loves being important in everyone's life. And
not a lot of people are believing in him.
He never
anymore.
Calls back until it's Christmas. Mm. And it's like, you know, he needs us more than we need him, I think.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, he's... Who needs presents these days, right? Like, have you ever appreciated a present?
No, I don't think so.
Hmm.
I appreciated someone, the idea of someone getting me a present.
Who's given you the best gift of your life? You know the answer to this one.
Do I?
The answer to this one. You know. Oh, man. I mean, answer that question.
I don't know. That's my mom for giving me the gift of life.
Okay. All right. I'll give you a pass.
Okay. Oh, that was awful. Awful answer. I don't know. I got a PlayStation 2 once for Christmas.
Okay.
It was pretty fucking...
So the greatest of all gifts is still the PlayStation 2.
Yes.
From 99?
Yes.
99?
Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah. Gosh, 1999 was a good time for me.
Yeah? What was going on in your life?
I wasn't gay yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know I was gay yet. I couldn't admit it to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I had sort of a homophobic culture of or like outlook that I had adopted myself to fit into people mm-hmm. with my family and friends, and I had internalized homophobia probably from like the TV and the movies and the culture at large,
right. Yeah,
and
makes
the
sense.
Fact that everybody's like faggot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny.
Yeah.
Faggot. That's funny to call somebody, you faggot. You know, you fucking faggot. Goddamn faggot. You fucking faggot. Oh, Johnny, are you queer? Remember that? Like, I don't know, just that type of shit. And, you know, like 16 candles. Like, I don't know how they treated the Revenge of the Nerds, his limp-wristed throwing style.
Yeah, okay.
Were some harsh treatments of gays in if you see movies where like in comedies in the 90s when people are calling each other something like homophobic
mm-hmm.
and you know, like they wouldn't do that now. I guess like Private Parts or something.
Okay.
Or where I'm like, I'm not mad about it, or what am I even saying? I don't know. Are you a movie historian or a comedian?
I remember hearing they were like doing the, I don't remember why I watched it, but it was like they were interviewing these like metal guys, and they're like asking, because like when Rob Halford came out as gay, and like they were like, I guess people were like, you know, what they thought about it, and like this guy used this weird like euphemism for being gay that I've never ever heard, where he's like, look, I don't care if he's, you know, straight or if he likes to play with German shepherds. I don't care. But I thought, like,
the equating it with that is like, you do care.
Yeah.
It's like,
but it's, yeah, but like, it's, but the fact that he said, you know,
play he with German shepherds. He would let it go if he did have sex with animals.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would, though. If I found out you fuck dogs, I'd be like,
oh, yeah.
I'd hold it against you.
Yeah,
in some way, I would be a little repulsed if I found out all my friends fuck dogs. I don't think it's cool. All right,
no,
this is not just me. This is like the law of the land.
Yeah,
do not fuck dogs.
Right.
What? But is that a just law?
I think so. I don't think you should fuck dogs.
Justice for the animals.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah. Wasn't there like some like senator trying to get something passed about like trying to get rid of bestiality?
Yeah, but isn't that the most important thing there is to think about? You know, when you consider the perils of our world.
Yeah, that's definitely a top priority.
Yeah, it's like...
look, we need to get rid of the law against bestiality real quick, and then we can solve the fucking
And then we'll
issues.
Solve the gays.
Yeah.
And then...
the answers are the dogs.
Yeah, we just get this written into law that we can protect them. You'd never protect them from being eaten by human beings,
just
though.
Just get that gay man a dog. That's all he needs.
Yeah. If we get I can't imagine having a dog. I don't want to take one on. Are you a dog owner?
I love dogs. I love dogs so much that I know that if I were to have a dog, I couldn't like give it the proper love it needs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
therefore, I see. Oh God, I miss my cat. I was thinking about her. She was all like, I was missing like. Somebody like digging into my ear with her face, you know, or like just sitting with me while watching TV, or just napping on the couch with the cat.
Yeah.
Or you know, having somebody who's like cute, like we communicated. We had, I think she really loved me.
Yeah. No. Yeah. She that cat definitely loved you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think animals are capable of love, and I'm not about to stop eating animals. It's like, I don't think Kisses was ever gonna stop eating animals either.
Yeah.
Until like she just couldn't anymore.
Right.
It was her favorite thing was eating, and unfortunately I have to eat too, and I think I'm just gonna continue feeding myself on the diet that everyone else eats.
That makes sense. I like eating me some animals.
Yeah.
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 Love me a nice.
Steak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steak, nice baked potato. That's not an animal.
I love the seafood, too. I love the seafood.
Yeah?
Yeah. Seafood's my babe.
All right, so fuck, marry, kill. You got lobster, crab, and shrimp.
Okay. I would... Fuck, crab, marry, lobster, kill, shrimp.
Okay.
But maybe... Yeah, yeah. Because lobster is just as versatile as shrimp. In any recipe.
Yeah.
And, yet it's so much tastier.
Yeah.
Than just,
no, I agree.
Just a little shrimp.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, but I, you know, the shrimp are delectable as well. Yeah, that's a good angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing good. This is a great podcast.
Yeah. We're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, you ain't shit.
Yeah, let's go back to that. That was crazy. Oh my God, I don't think I've ever heard you yell before.
Oh, I yell all the time, don't I?
No, but I remember whenever you like, remember at Darwin's, when that mentally challenged guy charged the stage.
Oh yeah, I sprung into action.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was mentally challenged. Well, I just knew he was attacking Antonio.
No, Aguilar. He was.
He was not. It just looked like an angry person.
Running,
crazily running to, and I was like, if he's going to kill Antonio, I'm going to step in and stop it if it's something happening that I can control and that I can. If I could save my friend's life, I totally would.
And you did.
And you never know if someone's going to come attack the stage and stab the comedian or like...
You sprung into action so fast. Like, I didn't have time to react and you were already on stage with that guy pinned against the wall. It was like, I was like, damn, Bob, what the fuck? That was crazy. It's wild, dude. You're over here like fucking lifting weights without people knowing that you're fucking just...
I was working out every day at the time.
Oh, really? So you were just waiting to...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for about a year, I'd been working out every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, or, like, every 3 or 4 days. Or mm-hmm. 3 or 4 days a week.
Okay.
And, like, so I had, like, you know, some... And they had been shitty all night.
Mm-hmm.
They had ruined everybody's comedy experience all night.
Yeah.
And on purpose.
Because one of them... Like, one of them, I think, two of them were waiting to go up. There was like a big family, and it was like their birthday, or one of the birthdays. The guy that charged the stage, it was his birthday.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what a sad birthday for that disabled boy who got mad at the comedians who were yelling at him when he's like intellectually challenged. But his friends were all fucking awful, and there were about 20 of them, and they weren't even like tending to him through the whole fucking night.
Yeah.
And then they're like,
he was upset because he was
just yelling at everyone and calling.
Because they were upset because I think he was getting bumped, and then he started to leave, and then Antonio got the crowd to start singing happy birthday to him.
And then he was like, happy birthday to, and then it was like, fuck you. Dude. Happy birthday, fuck you. Happy birthday, fuck you. I think it was something like that, and everybody was singing happy birthday.
Dude,
fuck you.
I remember it being a genuine happy, like, it went happy bird, and then like it was just the guy running at the stage with then you behind him having a pin against the wall. I don't think Antonio moved whatsoever. It just it was just self-contained like that.
Oh. Yeah, I miss Antonio. He's living in Austin now. And
yeah.
I see how he made enemies, but I still consider him like a great friend who I had had some of the best times of my life talking to Antonio Aguilar. He's one of the funniest people around. Like
I think he's hilarious.
Yeah, and do anything to protect my friend. And I proved it. I saved his life once.
Dude, there's no telling what that guy was going to do.
What?
There was no telling what that guy was going to do to Antonio, man. That guy was full of fucking rage. And then while that guy had... while you had that guy pinned against the wall, his brother jumped on stage and grabbed the mic and proceeded to tell us the backstory of like his brother's condition.
Yeah.
While you had him... pinned against the wall.
Still pinned. Yeah. Still enraged.
He's like, look, when he was born, the placenta, and like he was just like talking about it, like birth defects, and I was just like, what the fuck? And everyone's looking at the guy like he's like some kind of monster.
Yeah, there was a wrong diagnosis and a botched operation at the age of 4 days. It's ever since he was 4 days old, he's been like this, and it's because of a trauma.
You
and
ain't
now
shit.
You're over here.
You ain't shit. Oh. Oh, my goodness.
I've been reading a book of poetry. I was reading poetry last night.
Okay.
And while I was at the strip club, I was between songs, reading poetry. Poem in Three Parts by John Ashbery.
Okay.
One, love. Once I let a guy blow me. maybe I shouldn't have.
What? What? Let me see that book.
It's like the it's like gay bar literature.
Really?
But it won the Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah.
It's beautifully written, and I've read it like maybe 5 times. It's just a book of poems that I've had for 20 years in my house, and I was like, these are like the perfect length to look at for one page while somebody's up on stage, and I or if I have time to kill, you know, like at the strip club, it's great to read poetry sometimes instead of reading long novels or books, because you have some, like, 2 or 3 minutes off, you can read a page or something.
Right.
And
I like how you made a note here.
Yeah, I make old notes. I made some notes. What does it say?
Well, the line says, "Friendship of white cheats patched with milk." And you have a little arrow to the side and it just says, "Cum stains."
Yes. Cum stains. It's, and so that was, it's also fun to read at the strip club because it's like, "Cum stains from gay sex and and sucking on cocks." And, but it's about consciousness and the things that become themselves like flowers blooming in a moment, and how you can never recover the exact moment in its minutest form. But that's the whole purpose of doing a podcast, is to catch a moment, right?
You got another note here where the passage says, "So over these past years, a little puttering around, some relaxing, a lot of plans and ideas. Hope to have more time to tell you about the latter in the foreseeable future." And then you have a bracket and it just says, "My life story."
Yeah. So, oh yeah, I love John Ashbery.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great poet. I don't seek out a lot of poetry. I read like a Mary Oliver collection last year.
Mary Oliver, okay. My grandma likes to read a lot of Mary Higgins Clark.
Mary Higgins Clark, she writes them good mysteries.
Yeah, my grandma loves a good mystery.
Yeah, I like a good mystery. I like that Poker Face show. That was good.
What is that?
This is Natasha Lyonne.
There was a show?
Yeah, last year Natasha Lyonne was in this great show. It had all sorts of... it was like a Columbo for our times.
Okay.
And she's great in it. It's a role she was born to play. She directed some of the episodes, and she's a writer and consultant on all of it. And right now I'm watching Yellow Jackets.
Is that the one about the soccer team?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to watch that. Tess gave me her login.
Oh, yeah?
But, like, she was on a trial.
Oh.
And I think the trial expired. I didn't try it, but
okay.
I didn't get around to it.
Yeah, I showed Tess the first episode, and then she went and, like, got Showtime for a month, and then only did a month trial, like, just to watch that show.
Yeah.
And she watched it, and then, didn't buy Showtime. But that... I couldn't give up Showtime because of the Beavis and Butthead. I just rewatched that all the time.
Really?
And Peacock, I was mainly watching to watch Saturday Night Live. I love watching Saturday Night Live. It's like my,
really, like
every week.
Really, I haven't kept up with Saturday Night Live in really, really long time.
I really love the cast right now. And
that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm hoping their strike prevails, and but I wouldn't, like, I feel so bad for Zod Devji for getting the job at the Tonight Show, and then like a week later the strike happens, and like
that's a hell of a way to get,
and he'd literally bought a stupid car. Well, I'm just gonna buy a stupid car because it's funny, like the same car I had when I was 16. And he's like, now I'm paying it off for 5 years. In addition to my regular car. Now I have a stupid car.
Man, that's cool. It'd be cool to have 2 cars.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. And work only for my cars. I think that's how most people live.
You have an office car.
I have a work and a car, and I work to my car, and I car to work, and I work for my car, my car, my car. Every day is a drive. And that's like most people's lives are limited to just where they drive to, and they can't. I don't know. I think like everyone works too much to have any like enough leisure to really enjoy travel, or nobody has resources to own a house, or like raise a family,
right?
Like stuff like that is out of the question. And there's this Bob Dylan song called "Masters of War."
Okay.
And he's like, it's something about how, "Oh, you masters of war." Yeah, it's something about how they brought the greatest You brought the greatest fear that could ever be hurled into this world. The fear to bring... You brought the greatest fear to ever be hurled. Or something like that. Yeah. Fear to bring children into this world. Something like that. Like, that's my Bob Dylan.
Are you a big Bob Dylan fan?
I used to be. Yeah, I am still. Yeah, he's got so many classic records. It's just like sometimes I dip into it more. Sometimes I dip into it less. Oh. It was my favorite when I was 20. I bought like 14 albums of Bob Dylan and like cycled through all of them while I was in the Army. I was like the guy, the Bob Dylan fanatic in the Army everybody hated. I was I like Bob Dylan and Radiohead and Tom Waits.
Okay.
And everybody's like, shut the fuck up. With your flaming lips. In the Army. Don't listen to Portishead. Or any sad shit.
Well, what was everyone listening in the Army whenever you were like a lot of Limp Bizkit?
That had just passed. It was a lot of System of a Down.
Okay.
And Nickelback and Kid Rock and I love me some Kid Rock. And Kid Rock speaks for me.
Yeah.
Hey, Kid Rock speaks for me, man. I mean,
how can, like, it's so crazy how, like, a guy who was, like, you know, he was, like, a little, he was from Detroit. He was, like, a rich kid.
Yeah, he's a millionaire son.
And he's such an icon for the people of the South.
Yeah. Because he's, like, the deliberate, like, he's deliberately adopting the ideology of the people who own slaves. And that's his statement for our times, is slavery was right. And I'm a badass! My name is Kid! And slavery is right. And that's his ideology as far as I'm concerned, and I don't really care. But,
I saw Kid Rock
at
I saw Kid Rock at the rodeo once.
Yeah?
Yeah. He didn't cuss or nothing.
No, was he shaking hands and wearing a suit and running for president?
No.
Like an asshole?
No.
like a certain asshole named Kid Rock.
he just rocked it, man.
He was at the festival and he destroyed. I think he's good. Play him at the club sometimes. People ask for it.
You ain't never met a motherfucker quite like me! Some...
Remember that like little person that used to rap with them all the time?
Oh yeah, he died, didn't he?
Yeah.
We're all gonna die. He wasn't somebody I knew.
Really?
And I kind of knew who he was. In that Eudora Welty book, Delta Wedding, it's all about a marriage that's like pretty. They'll stay married, but they'll never be happy.
Right.
And the girl has, like, a fire in her heart and, a love of truth and, preserved ideas of a special kind of beauty that she values above all else. But she's betraying that by marrying this guy.
Okay.
And he's a, like, plantation overseer on their family farm. So they're all bad people.
Right.
And they're all like, but they weren't born bad. They're just doing something bad.
They're doing bad stuff.
Because they're copying things that people have done before them. And they're chasing after an echo of their parents or their grandparents. And they're always like copying other people and not thinking about like who they are themselves.
Right.
And so like most of the cruelty and, harm that has happened in the world is because people have just wanted to fit in and be like what they're expected to be. And by, copying other things that they haven't fully evaluated before adopting the mask that becomes their face. And, so that's what Delta Wedding was mainly about. The wedding happens and so life moves on.
Why was she marrying that guy?
Because it was a thing that would keep everybody fed, and there's like 40 people in the household, and they all have to survive.
Okay.
But they're like, depending on slaves.
For the greater good kind of thing.
Yeah, but they're all just, like, everybody's a rat.
Yeah.
Like, there's like human rats in these books. Like,
what?
I don't know, like, you know, people are like that. Like, yeah. Oh, I smell a rat.
Right.
Like, fucking. But characterizing people as rats is very hateful. And that's why this has been Hateful Outlooks with me, Gabe Bob Morrissey, on Hateful Outlooks. No, it's the Healing Club again. And we filled our time. How did you feel about the episode? I think some of it's pretty funny.
Some of it's funny, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think this is a keeper.
Yeah? All right. Well, it's good to have you, Jolly.
Thank you for having me.
I'll see you tonight, and I'm going up at the successful show tonight.
Yeah.
I should head there soon. Okay. Love you.
Bye.
This is the Healing Club, not the Hateful Outlook Show. The Healing Club.